Well, China and Russia have unequivocally declared a full-scale attack on the U.S. dollar. I don't think most people realize we are at a tipping point moment right now for the U.S. dollar dominance around the world. The U.S. reserve currency, of course, is the reserve currency of the world. Central banks, though, are dumping U.S. dollars and fleeing to gold. They're fleeing to commodities. We just got some startling new numbers. Take a look at this out of China, which I had to do a double take when I first saw this chart. This is unbelievable on the Chinese cross-border payments. We'll explain more about what this means in a second to help us understand what's going on here and this sort of fleeing to gold away from the U.S. dollar. Let's bring in a friend of the show, Kevin DeMeritt. He's the CEO of Lear Capital and who helps a lot of our viewers be able to invest in gold. Kevin, great to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, great to be back, Clayton. Thank you.
So let's take a look at this. I just want to, before we get into the nitty gritty here of the de-dollarization here, because you put together a brand new report as well. When you saw this chart, which you and I were sharing back and forth over the past few days here, what did you think when you saw these cross-border payments out of China?
Well, like I said on the program over and over, you know, you look for tipping points. You kind of said it at the beginning here. You're looking for things that are going to take precedent over what's happening with the U.S. dollar currently, which is, you know, it's the number one trade currency. Everybody has to use it for petrodollar, so on and so forth. So how is that going to shift and how long is it going to take? So if you look at this chart from 2010, cross-border payments for China was 0.3%. So in 2010, they used the Chinese renminbi 0.3% of the time. Today, they use it 52% of the time. From 2010, the U.S. dollar was being used 83% of the time. That's all the way down to 42% of the time. That's a tipping point. It's a huge economy, and they're starting to move away from the U.S. dollar in a variety of ways. Not only the cross-border payments and more people are taking their currency over the U.S. dollar, but they've also started liquidating U.S. dollars, and they liquidated 6% of their entire reserve of U.S. dollars in the first quarter of this year.
6%. And it seems like they're trying to get rid of these U.S. dollars for a couple of reasons, to my mind, which is, number one, they don't want to be on the hook for the U.S. dollar anymore. They don't want to be bullied by the United States to settle transactions in this way. And we also saw Russia basically over the past few weeks saying, hey, we're seizing all of these U.S. dollar assets that are tens of billions of dollars, I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. dollar assets inside of Russia. And I had an economist friend tell me that basically means that they're done with the U.S. dollar. Like, you don't just launch an attack like that against the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency unless you have a backup plan, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's a couple of reasons, like you said, that they're liquidating the U.S. dollar. Number one, the easiest one, since 2020, the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar has fallen by 24%. So if you're a foreign country and you're holding U.S. dollars and the value of that currency falls 24%, who the heck wants to hold it? Nobody. So they've gone from $1.5 trillion in reserve to $800 billion, and they just liquidated $52 billion more at the first part or at the first quarter of this year. So that's 6.5% of their entire reserve. If that continues to happen, they're going to be at zero like Russia almost overnight. So they don't want to hold it for inflationary reasons or loss of purchasing power. There was an article in Business Insider. It says the U.S. dollar has become so weaponized, like you were talking about, that central banks are snapping up politically neutral gold. So where are they putting this money? They're moving it over to gold. That's the reason that the gold price is at record highs today. It has nothing to do with the United States. It has to do with the BRICS countries, China, Russia, India. They're all moving away from the U.S. dollar and over to the gold market.
Can you educate us more about that? So when you say it doesn't really have much to do with the United States, they're moving away and buying up gold. When you're talking about specifically the gold price. The reason the gold price right now is skyrocketing is because they're gobbling up as much gold as they can?
Yeah, here in the United States, the demand for gold is just about even. So when I say even, it's typical for the type of demand that we typically see in the United States. But when you look at the demand for other countries, it's absolutely through the roof because central banks, who are the largest institutions in the world, are purchasing so much of the gold that has driven it up to $2,350, $2,400 at one point. And the trend looks like it's going to continue. So this is the third year in a row that we're seeing record demand from central banks. And it makes sense. If you have a dollar, like I said, that's falling 24% and you can move over to an asset that you can't print any more of to drop the value of it, then that's one asset that they would like to put in their portfolios and hold just for loss of purchasing power reasons.
Now, gold prices, I mean, we've seen price targets. You guys have a $3,200 gold report that's available from Lear. I've seen even, and I think that may be even conservative, right? Because I've seen UBS price targets of $4,000 for an ounce of gold. I've seen even prices higher than that. So your $3,200 gold price target seems really conservative, comparatively speaking. I guess that's a good position to be, because you can say, hey, see, we told you, it blew past that number, right?
Yeah. You know, Bank of America came out at around 3,000 after our report came out. We're at 3,200, and there's some other financial institutions, like you said, at 3,500 and 4,000. I like our number better because I have a 92% there is a 92% correlation between the U.S. debt number and the price of gold. So, hey, look, if I could go to Vegas and play, you know, dice at 92% probability, I would sit there all day long and play. So I like our number a little bit better, 92% correlation to the debt. I think 3,200 is a nice number. It usually overshoots that number, and then it will come down below that number. So, you know, 3,200 to us is very conservative, and I'll think that's it. Where you're going to find the price of gold. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'll take it. I mean, you know, gold was just a few months ago was $1,800 an ounce. So I'll take a $3,200 gold any way you slice it. Of course, now over $2,000 an ounce. So it keeps continuing to go up. I want to talk about the Fed. You watch the Fed very closely, Kevin, and you're seeing, of course, what's happening with interest rates. You're seeing what's happening with inflation right now. And the Fed, believe you and I have talked before, really has been boxed in sort of back up against the wall moment. What do you think we're going to see from the Fed here? What can the Fed do as it tries to battle inflation over the next few months as we hit new presidential campaign?
Not much. I don't think much at all. and I'm in pretty good company because Jamie Dimon Friday in Fortune magazine says extraordinary government spending has him bracing for high inflation and unemployment. So you have two things going on. You have the fact that we've printed up trillions of dollars since 2008. So we were at $8 trillion, we're at $34 trillion. So in 15 years, we've added $26 trillion of debt. So it took us 150 years to get to 8 trillion. It took 15 years to get to 26 trillion. The definition of inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. That's exactly what we have. On top of that, this tipping point of countries selling off U.S. reserve U.S. reserves held in U.S. dollars, held in treasuries. When you sell those treasuries, those dollars are repatriated back to the United States. So now you have the U.S. government printing up money, and at the same time, you have foreign governments selling dollars. Those dollars are coming back to the United States, and it's adding to the dollars here, which is too much money chasing too few goods. So Jamie Dimon is saying in this article, you have two things happening. You have the debt in the United States with all the dollars flooding, and then you also have foreign countries selling and those dollars coming back. In my opinion, the dollars coming back are going to get worse, and that's why inflation will probably stay higher for longer.
Now, you have a new de-dollarization report out that our audience can go and grab right now. We'll have a link in the description, and we'll put it up here on the screen as well. At LearRedacted.com. It's a great report. I encourage all of you to go and get it right now. You make the case for gold as your best defense right now, as all of these countries are dumping the U.S. dollar. Do you think that we're going to see even further acceleration of the de-dollarization over the next few months and years?
Oh, I do. I think the value of the dollar is just headed on its way down. Look, when you look at history since 1940, you're living in the first country that had the world's reserve currency. So Portugal had the first world's reserve currency, then Spain, then it went to the Netherlands, and then you had, France, Great Britain, and the United States. To the shock of everyone, each one of those currencies lasted about 100 years. And for the first 70 to 75 years of each one of those countries, they were fairly fiscally responsible, they were fairly monetarily responsible, and then the wheels came off. They all took on enormous amounts of debt, got drunk on debt. Other countries didn't trust the currency, and they needed a switch. The United States has been the world's reserve currency since 1921. So where are we at? 103 years. We're at the ending of this 100-year reign, in my opinion. The same thing's happening here. The first 70 years, 75 years, we were pretty good. We made it to $8 trillion. It wasn't an enormous amount of debt. And now, over the past 15 years, we go from $8 trillion to $26 trillion. It's following the same pattern that each one of these currencies has had. So the best way I can explain why the dollar will probably continue to fall is, number one, the government just can't control spending. So they're fiscally irresponsible, monetarily irresponsible. But the other part of it is, if you think about Apple, and you had 1 million shares of Apple, and 500,000 shares were held by an institution, some mutual fund, and they were going to hold it and not sell it basically forever. I mean, that's usually what happens with these reserve currencies. And the other half was traded. If at some point that mutual fund woke up and said, I'm going to sell 6.5% of Apple stock, and they kept doing that until they went from $500,000 all the way to zero, the value of Apple stock is going to fall. That's what's happening to the US dollar right now. Russia took the mutual fund of US treasuries that they held and liquidated everything. China's gone from $1.5 trillion to $800 billion, and they just liquidated $52 billion more. These other countries are liquidating, and they're moving over and taking a look at the BRICS countries or currency. Thailand, this is a big one, just announced that it will formally be joining the BRICS alliance. It's a U.S. Kind of ally, and it's been trading in U.S. currency forever. So when you start adding all of that up, Clayton, it doesn't look good for the U.S. dollar. And some people say, hey, look, it's been around forever. Yeah, so were all those other currencies for 100 years. And then debt just took over and no one trusted it. So I really believe this is a big tipping point, and the U.S. dollar is going to have a very tough time holding its value and keeping interest rates low. I don't think you're going to see lower interest rates, because you're going to need higher interest rates to entice those foreign countries to hold it for longer.
Right. I mean, what a catch-22 they're in right now. Of course, you also have a Biden re-election campaign. So there might be pressure from the Democrats on that side. Just slash some interest rates right before an election. Just give them a little bit. It's crazy. Natalie and I have just gone heavy into gold, purchasing gold, purchasing silver. What do you recommend right now for people? Gold, silver, or both? I mean, we've done like 50-50. That's kind of been our thing. What do you recommend?
Yeah, you know, the silver market, with gold hitting all-time highs, the last time gold was around 2000, the silver price was $49 an ounce. And here we have gold at almost $2,400, and the price of silver is around $30. So I just think the silver market's on sale right now. Just to catch up with the price of gold, it probably should be around $42 to $45 an ounce. So I think there's an incredible opportunity there. And for the third year in a row, the silver market's running at a huge deficit because of the silver, or because of the solar demand, and other applications also, but mostly on the solar demand. And solar's going to get, you're going to have more silver for solar, because they're increasing the efficiency of solar panels, and it just takes more silver. So they estimate that the new solar panels will take about 25%, 20 to 25% more silver. If that's the case, the silver price needs to run to $45 an ounce to pull enough out of the ground just to even keep up.
Well, you guys can give these guys a call. What I always say on the show, you guys are American patriots over there. You're not going to get some call center in India when you guys call, when any of our viewers want to call and talk to your team over at Lear about gold or silver. And get this de-dollarization report. I highly recommend you read it. It's really, really good. And here's the 800 number. You can give the team over at Lear a call and talk to the team there. They're fantastic. Kevin, as always, great to see you. I love to check in with you every few months on the state of the economy. I hope you'll have better news for us next time. but maybe as we head into the election, I think, you know, maybe we'll get some weirdness going on. I have a feeling we're going to see some weirdness before the election. We'll have to get a reality check with you in the next few months.
Yeah, great to be on. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.